Well, Adirondack mega farmer Sandy Lewis is one of the best-known figures in the Adirondacks. He made really national news a couple of years ago when he took on the APA and won when the Adirondack Park Agency tried to stop him from building farm buildings on his farm, claiming that they weren't allowed within the blue line. Sandy Lewis has been with us several times. He's the son of a one-time very famous Wall Street figure at Bear Stearns. He's joined us about a month ago talking about a very interesting visionary plan he has for a slaughterhouse for high-grade, grass-fed, organic beef in the Adirondacks, which he thinks can transform farming in the Adirondacks. And he's going to update us on the latest with that this morning. Good morning, Sandy. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning, Fred.
And say hi to Barbara for us, your wife, who's, I gather, a key figure in the whole operation of your farm.
Barbara and I were married on June 15th, 1960. We met in Chicago when I was attending a school run by Bruno Bettelheim.
Famed psychologist?
Yeah, famed psychoanalyst, really. And Dr. Bettelheim, Dr. B, as we used to call him, didn't know her when I met her, because I was in 9th or 10th grade thinking about going to school in Europe, and I met her dad, who was later to be dean of Harvard Med School in the meantime. Barbara and I got a little more serious when I was 18, and subsequently, 3 years later, with firm opposition from her parents and mine, we got married.
Well, congratulations. How long have you had the farm, just to remind listeners?
Well, we started here with a small amount of land in the spring of 1978 when I emerged from a stint with Harold Williams as his chief of whatever at the SEC.
Okay. And how long have you had? It's 1,000 acres now. It's a fully operational organic farm of quite an important distinction. How long has it been in its current iteration, would you say?
Well, it's 1,200 acres, okay. And it is a work in progress. And for your entire listening audience, I cannot tell you today that this farm will sustain itself, but I will say that we've had it in its present format and in its evolving format as a grass-fed operation recognized by the USDA for approximately 8 or 9 months and doing beef for approximately the last 5 years.
About how many head of cattle do you have?
We're somewhere between 250 and 300, mm-hmm. And I get asked this all the time, and I just don't keep track, but we're... You ask me this next time around, I'll give you the exact number.
Okay, fair enough. Sandy, we talked about a month ago about your very interesting idea for a slaughterhouse in the Adirondacks. You've been dealing with Senator Betty Little, I assume. You've been dealing with the State Agriculture Department and others. Can you give us an update? Because you indicated that there might be some things happening.
Well, unfortunately, they're not happening here. They're happening in Middlebury, Vermont. Hmm. A fellow named Carl Cushing, who's outstanding, I spoke with him yesterday, and I told him that I would be on the air with you today, and he wishes the state of New York and the governor of this state to know that while he's received help over there from all the right people, including foundation help with Merck heirs, he would love to help New York State get up to speed and do exactly what they're doing over there. They're going to spend $2.5 million in Middlebury in the industrial park to build a system, and they hope to get approval on it from the citizens of Middlebury this week. If they're lucky and they get all these things, and I'm sure they'll get it, they'll build their facility. It will have decent capacity. He knows what the numbers would be, and I'm not at liberty to release them, but I would say it's substantial compared to what he's got today, which is basically a mess. He is a very capable man, but Carl's had polio, and he's had, as I have had, a little trouble with cancer every so often. And he's got a wonderful family, and they're dedicated to their business, and there's about a dozen of them. They're all aging. They got a couple of kids in their 20s, early 30s, that sort of thing. But most of them are up in their late 50s. So what do we need? What we need, and Governor Cuomo should come to the party here and smell the coffee, we need a facility which would take a look at Middlebury and make Middlebury a nice little example and really teach the world how to do it. Carl knows this, but $2.5 million is all that foundation can spring for now with whatever aid they're getting from the state. You asked me on our last visit, I said if you didn't spend $5 million, you shouldn't bother, and I suggested $25 million. Why? Because we need to build to teach. The culture is dying. The average age of farmers in the United States is 57. We need youngsters to look at this thing and smell the coffee. This is a big deal in farming. And if we can manage grass-fed, in the park, which is the perfect place to put it, where Texas are liquidating herds. Texas going out of business down there. They've got a drought. We don't have a drought.
Sure.
We have the mountains. We have clay soils. We've got all kinds of moisture, and we have all kinds of places that could do this. So what do we need? Presently, I'm driving 4 hours each way to Athol, A-T-H-O-L, Massachusetts, to slaughter. We're supplying Deerfield Academy. Deerfield's delirious with the product. It tastes different. It is different. There's never been any grain in most of the animals we're harvesting for Deerfield. Some of the parents, which were purchased in the Midwest, had grain in their system probably 7 or 8 years ago. But today, they've just nothing but grass. We call those cull cows.
Sandy, have you talked to Darrell Albertine, the state ag commissioner? He's a former dairy farmer, and he seems to me to be somebody who would be very much open to what you're talking about, and certainly would be able to be quite familiar with the needs.
Well, I certainly know Darrell's name, and I believe I talked with his predecessor, and I've certainly talked with the heads of the Farm Bureau, the last couple. And Betty Little has told me that Darrell wants to pay a visit. But no, I haven't talked with him. I've spoken with Bob Summers, who attended an APA conference chaired by Senator Little not long ago. And he has indicated through Betty that he would be behind anything we want to do. But here's the problem. In the cabinet of this governor, there is a sort of an inner circle. I don't think this governor has spoken to Darrell Albertine. The question is, will this governor come out of his, second floor executive chambers there, flex, come up and take a look, and just get with the party? What we need here, and government has to be involved in this. I'm not a government guy and I'm not a statist, but the governor needs to get himself into this. He needs to pay attention and understand that red meat is now a cancer. New York Times is running pieces on just what's in red meat nationwide.
Well, hold on, Sam. Let me just mention two things. One, the governor has had a couple of recent announcements, as I'm sure you know about the expansion of yogurt plants in New York, which is wonderful for dairy farmers.
Mm-hmm.
And then, two, this green, whatever they call it, red slime or whatever the term is, maybe
pink
over...
Pink
slime, is it?
Yeah.
I mean, don't you think it's a little hyperbolic? Because it involves, as you know better than me, a sterilizing process that involves ammonia gas, I gather. No indication that it's harmful. It may not be very palatable, but there's no indication, as far as I know, that it's genuinely harmful.
I take exception to your characterization, Fred. Any beef, any cattle, any grazing animal which consumes any significant amount of grain is a sick animal. And in order to keep it alive, your listeners need to understand this. The big slaughterhouses, the big feeding operations, these feedlots, are feeding hormones, antibiotics.
But is that because they're eating grain, or is that because there's so many cattle squeezed together and they're trying to make them grow fast?
No. The second stomach in the animal, which processes a green soup called ruminant,
right.
That element in the animal enables the animal to produce tissues and milk. That's a unique component in the grazing animal.
Sandy, don't you think your case would be stronger just by emphasizing economic development and jobs for people rather than getting into a side argument about whether the beef most people eat today is healthy or not?
This isn't a side argument. This is now a feature of a half a dozen reporters at the New York Times. The U.S. Department of Agriculture has ruled on this, and they're way over their heads. And the federal courts ruled last week in the Southern District. This business of impregnating beef with antibiotics, steroids, and hormones is about to get ruled out of order in Washington. And if this happens, and I have no doubt that it will happen, the American beef industry, which is huge, and those who supply beef with antibiotics, 80% of the antibiotics in this country are consumed by animals, not people.
But the concern there is the loss of the development of resistant strains of bacteria, not of any threat to humans because of the
bacteria. Not true.
Oh, really? Okay.
I beg to differ with you.
All right.
The largest concern we have in healthcare today in the United States is cancer and obesity and heart disease. All of these relate to what I'm talking about here. So the question is, are we going to continue with Obamacare, which to me is an abomination? And at the end of the day, are we going to try to figure out that all those people who sit between the patient and the doctor are sucking up a lot of money, and the sicker we get, the happier they are? Physician, heal thyself. There's nothing wrong with eating well. The problem is, I don't care who you are in the United States today, you can't get it.
Let me ask you this,
Sandy. It's a really difficult market to access because there's so few of us.
Sandy, let me ask you this. The governor, as you probably know, has come up with a billion-dollar plan for economic development. He has regional economic development panels. It's actually a multi-billion-dollar plan. And there's a North Country panel. These panels are to make recommendations for economic development in their regions. Have you talked to any of the North Country people about including your slaughterhouse proposal, this unique proposal, in that overall presentation?
No, and I would be happy to do so. But I'd like to say this in a respectful manner.
Sure.
Committee is a horse designed, and it turns out to look like a camel. What we have to figure out here is, can this governor find a way to create something that requires creativity, entrepreneurial ingenuity, and can afford to lose money for 10 years? There isn't an entrepreneur in the world who's going to build in this park. First of all, you have the APA and the DEC, and you got a bunch of bureaucrats there that would decide almost immediately to make your life as difficult as possible. It's reflexive. And that, I say, in the face of Lonnie Ulrich's statement here at lunch with Betty Little, where do you want it? We'll approve it. I don't care what she says. At the end of the day, I like Lonnie Ulrich. She's first class. I really believe that.
New head of the APA. Let me just note
yes,
that.
Yes, she's outstanding. And I think as a human being, she's first class. But as an agency, they still haven't managed to turn the corner. And Governor Cuomo sacked this guy, Kurt Stiles. Wonderful. That has not changed John Banta. That has not changed the executive director or any number of people in enforcement. And until that place is absolutely cleansed of this previous mentality and is freed up from the Adirondack Council's baloney, we're not going to get this place straightened out. And a proper slaughterhouse where you can eat off the floor, where you could put cameras on the kill floor and make it live to the nation, every single step in the slaughterhouse should be exposed and disclosed. The press should have no hesitancy in visiting, and school children should be able to come in there and learn how it's done. This is a wonderful business if it can be done correctly.
It's pretty unsettling for some people to see big animals being killed. I've seen them.
If you get unsettled all you want, then don't eat the beef. But if you want to eat the beef, you must learn that beef must be slaughtered.
No question about it. I take my
own animals to the kill floor myself. Yeah. It is not a pleasant experience. It's like losing money. I've never learned how to enjoy it. But you have to do it. And you must go there with your animal to make sure that those who spend their days slaughtering animals on the kill floor know that you respect your own animal. And if you don't do that, your animal may not be respected.
Sandy, we're almost out of time. Let me ask you this. How much time does New York have? When will this Vermont project, do you think, get underway?
It's going to be underway this spring. It'll be finished in September. Hmm. And we need more than that. We cannot sustain ourselves with some little putzy operation in Middlebury's, you know, business circle. We need a facility that incorporates education. Cornell might be involved, but they can learn
great.
How to spell organic. I'd just like to say one thing in terms of you, Fred. I have enormous respect for what you do, but please educate yourself. You're about to hear from Fred Monroe this morning. He's brilliant. I spoke with him at 5 a.m. this morning about the Idaho case and Supreme Court's decision of March 21st.
Yeah.
Fred's onto something. It's very powerful. Your listeners should pay attention to what Fred has to say. But with respect to us and the APA case with us, which is very much the same as what the EPA just experienced at the hand of the Supreme Court, 9-0, with respect to us, we need Governor Cuomo to get involved himself. Committees in the North Country aren't going to do this. This is a big job. It requires teaching. It requires research. I've identified two vets in Nebraska, and they're married. She is born and raised here. She's 6'2", and she took her Westport High School team to the state championship. She's fantastic. They'll come back here and help run it. You need a slaughterhouse that's run by vets. I've talked to a guy who's running a slaughterhouse in Troy, Pennsylvania.
We're just about out of time, Sandy. If you could just sum up.
Mike Kovach will come up here and do it. We need experienced people to hit the ground running. Carl Cushing has offered to help us from Middlebury. I wouldn't be surprised if his family moved over here. This is a great concept. We have 6.5 million acres to play with. People are leaving this place like crazy. It's losing economic vitality every day.
Sure.
So to reverse this, what do we need? I think we need grazing. I think we need grazing beef and no grain.
Sandy, you're a powerful advocate. The governor has been known to listen to the show on occasion and maybe see some transcripts from it, and occasionally he does come on. I may be able to raise
it with him at some point. I'll make it clear to you.
Yep.
The New York Times knows he listens to this show every day. The entire executive office building listens to this show every day. You are transcribed by two people on the second floor in executive office chambers every day, and I can get my hands on the transcript any day.
Well, it sounds like you're pretty wired in, Sandy. Maybe
not
you can
as well wired as you are, Fred.
Sandy Lewis, thanks for joining us this morning from the Adirondacks. This is Fred Dicker live at the State Capitol. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Fred Monroe.